All right, Proverbs 18. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and I pray you'd be a blessing to the folk here. And I pray, God, you take these scriptures. They've been a great help to me, Lord, through the years, and they've been a great strength literally day by day. And I pray you do so with it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start with one verse, and this verse has a lot of power in it. And what it says is this: through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermingleth all wisdom. And as in many, many places in your Bible, the word man there is not male, it's a human. So you could say through desire, a person or a human having separated himself seeketh and intermingleth with all wisdom. Now on the surface, it might just, you know, be some words strung together. But desire is a really powerful source. It's a powerful force in a person's life. When someone desires something to, you know, through desire, through a longing for, through a wish for something. And we're going to look at some things about this word desire in our Bible, and we'll mainly stay around Psalms and Proverbs for the sake of convenience for y'all. But it's important to understand that most things where you participate personally, especially say in your own time, in your own energy, is through desire. Some things we do because we have to, okay? You take it work, there's certain things we do. Way back, first part of the year, when I went to work there, they had us put an app on the phone it's online training, okay? And it's done in daily bits, and it does it by asking a question one way and then asking the same question another way. And I was told you have to do it every day. So a couple weeks ago, one of the area guys that's associated with who we are associated with come by and he said, "What do you, you know, are you doing it?" I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, that's unusual." I said, "Why? I was told I had to do it." Okay, so I don't wake up thinking about doing that little 5 question every day. And I especially don't wake up liking the fact that a lot of times, even when you get the right answer, the way they've written it sometimes, and their software, it comes out and it'll say it's wrong, even though it's showing the right. So it's not something I wake up wanting to do. So it's not a desire. Now my desire to keep the job, my desire to be a good employee, my desire to, you know, to work is what makes me do it. You get the difference? All right? It's kind of like a lot of things. There's times we don't feel like getting up. You might wake up, you guys still doing 2 days a week or what, for school? Okay, so there's probably 2 days a week you don't necessarily feel like going, and then there's 3 days a week you really don't feel like doing nothing because you're at home. So, everything in life that's really meaningful comes with this thing of desire. Notice what he said here: through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermingleth with all wisdom. So here's the picture. The picture is someone who has a desire, and because of that, they choose that desire over other things. They separate themselves. You take professional athletes. To maintain the level that it takes, they have to separate themselves unto that desire. I read of a lady who's a professional runner, track and field, sprinter. And she eats ice cream one time a year, and then it's one little bowl, and that's it. Because the ice cream affects her breathing. And she can't be her absolute best. And so you get to thinking about that kind of dedication, okay? So the reason there are so many people that say don't become what they desire is it takes some discipline. I want to talk about 4 or 5 things, depending on how far we get. The first one I want you to think about is this word, the source of desire. Now, you're in Proverbs 18, just kind of hang a left over into the book of Psalms and find Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is one of those powerful verses. The Bible is a great book, and all of it's good. There are also some verses, some statements, some mottos in the Bible that are powerful in connecting the other verses. Psalm 37, I'm going to let you get over there. Now, the source of desire. It really matters where you get your desire. I'm going to just cast your mind back to the first two people, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were in the garden. Adam and Eve are in the garden, and the Lord said, "You've got all this stuff you can do, and what I really want you to do is I really want you to enjoy it, but there's one tree, don't do it." Okay? And so when the devil came to Eve, he felt like she was the weak link at the time, and he picked on her. And your Bible says that one of the things about the fruit that was forbidden was it was desired to make one wise. Here's the problem. The fruit he was getting her to eat was a wrong kind of wisdom. Like, I don't know if you realize it, but there are some people who are thieves and they're very clever. And let's take, digital type, electronic thievery nowadays. There's some people who are really, people who hack and do all those things. They're very clever. I was telling Phil the other day when I was just, I probably was 10, I'd make like $2 a week. And I'd work every day for my dad. I'd work in the morning, go to school, work in the evening, $2 or $3 a week. But that was a lot in those days. So one day he said to me, he said, "You see that 2x6 over there is like 8 foot long?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I can pick that up with my teeth." And I said, "Daddy-o, you got a big mouth, but it ain't that big." I thought I was being cheeky, you know. He's like, "You want to bet a week's pay?" I said, "Man, you're on." All I could think of was doubling my money. He went over and he wrapped a piece of leather around it and put the leather in his teeth and picked it up. And I'm crying foul and I'm upset. All I can think of is losing my week's effort. He said, "I'll tell you what I'll do." He said, "You ask anybody you want if that was fair." So I waited till a guy was walking his horse by that really liked me. I said, "Hey, come here." So I told him my story in the most persuasive way, and I'll never forget it. He put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "Young man, you just learned a lifelong lesson. Listen better." Which meant I lost. And he took my money. My dad didn't. He didn't say, "Okay, good lesson learned. Don't worry." He took it. That way I learned it. He didn't say, "I'm going to pick it up with my teeth on it." See, he left out some things, right? So he showed me that some people can be really wise in a bad way. Some people can be really smart in a bad way. In law, they always say the large print giveth and the small print taketh away. All that little fine print in contracts. Now, I sell that to say that the source of desire matters, where I get my source. Look at Psalm 37:4, an awesome verse. Let's look at verse 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Now watch. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Now some people think, well, if I delight in God, he'll give me whatever I want. Through many, many years of knowing the Lord and praying and doing stuff, going around the world, here's what I've learned about that statement. Ready? You delight in the Lord, and he'll help you with the desires of your heart. Because good desires... our desires need weighing. I give you an example. There are only a limited number of people who ever make professional sports, ever, any kind. There's a limited number. The percentage of, say, NFL players to how many players play high school or how many players play college, you can't even hardly fathom how little that percentage is, okay? And yet, what do fellas do sometimes? And ladies, girls too. They spend all their desire on it. And then they get to a point and they're like, "I'm not going past this in college. I wish I'd learned something so I could get a job, and make good of my education." So a desire needs weighing. Sometimes we can want something and the end price is too high, okay? In where I'm working right now, we get fellas come in all the time, and they got the big old trucks. They got a 2500 truck. They put the spacers on it. They put the wheels on it. They put the tires on it, right? And they'll drive it, and then they'll bring it in. They'll say, "I need it aligned." Well, in the meantime, because they've done all these things the truck wasn't made for, just to get the tires aligned so they won't wear out, it might cost them $300 or $400 or $500 just to get it aligned because it's been beating all the pieces together, and we have to replace them. Well, after a while, it's going to do it again. One fellow said to me the other day, he was probably maybe 25. He said, "If I had realized what those tires were really going to cost me, I wouldn't have put them on there." Okay? We had one guy bring in. He brought tires in and wheels, and he wanted us to put them on. And while he was there, he had to get a Sawzall, borrow a Sawzall from us, and cut. And I mean, this is a Cadillac, SUV Cadillac. He had to cut part of the fender wheel out to drive it away. He cut part of his bumper off, a Cadillac Escalade. And I'm like, "What is that?" That's desire, right? One guy come in and they're doing the, I forget what they call it now, but where the front is up, 60-40, okay? And they, he spent a bunch of money on it. I'm talking a bunch of money on it. Well, his buddy wanted one just like it, but his he bought a different kind of car, older car, and it couldn't be done. And it was a week and a half of stuff. I'm saying all that extreme desire, okay? For every one person that ends up being an actor out there in Hollywood or New York or stage, there's thousands that don't. I saw the guy that got famous, you know, old Seinfeld, they interviewed him. And he said, you know what most people don't know is we were literally living in a room smaller than this, each of us, in a cot, and we would go eat sandwiches at the place where we were doing our comic stand-up, hoping somebody would find us for years. What did he have? He obviously had a desire, and that desire was not going to be stopped in him, okay? But a person could have a desire, and they could chase it and seek it and want it and never get there if they don't consider the source of the desire. That's why you find people, and maybe they strive to be wealthy, and they make a fair bit of money, and then when they get there, they realize, I didn't know what I was going to do with my money, or this is not where I wanted to be in order to make the money. So, the source of desire. You have to decide where do you get your desires from, okay? There's all kind of illustrations in my mind. You grow up and you get in your head, you want something. Thankfully, my folks were of the mind that for the most part, if I wanted it, I had to find a way to get it. Now, not hook or crook, but I had to work and save. And what that did was it slowed down my desire. I read of a guy, and he made over $150,000 a year, and he came to a financial counselor who's a Christian in Atlanta. The counselor's passed on now. And he said, look, I'm in a jam. I'm about to go literally broke. I need some help. And he'd made some really bad decisions. For example, he had bought his son a $60,000 car and let him drive it off the lot but didn't have insurance on it yet. He was going to do it the next day, and he crashed it. Well, there's $60,000 gone, plus what he owed the people he hit. And then he bought him a boat. And I was helping conduct a seminar once in Australia, and it was for a big boat company. And at lunch, we asked the guy, how much does that boat out there cost? He said, before I tell you how much it costs, the real question you should ask is how much does it cost to keep that boat? See, now that boat's a $250,000 boat. That was their cheapest boat. It was $250,000. He said, but it costs almost $70,000 a year to keep it. So in 4 years, you're spending more keeping it than you bought it for. And I learned a great lesson. Listen to him. I was like, you better find out what it costs to maintain something. We get people come in all the time. They'll buy a vehicle, and it takes high-end motor oil. It's almost twice as much as regular. And so every time they get an oil change, it's twice as much as it would be if they had a regular car. Some of them get upset at first until I say, look, here's what your car manufacturer says. And they're like, man, I wish I'd known that before I bought it. I said, well, yeah, that would be a good idea. It's desire. Only you know what you desire. I would encourage you to, and it's private, it's personal for you, write down your desires and decide what is the source of them. Like, you don't want to let somebody else give you your desire in the sense of you're trying to keep up with them or measure up to them. When I was mid-teens, we traveled a lot. We moved a lot. We didn't travel. We might race for 60 days, one place 90. I might go to three schools in three states in the same year. So hardly ever got to be on sports teams, and I really enjoyed sports. So somewhere along the line, I picked up golf because you can do it alone. You can go out in a field with a golf club and some balls and keep yourself busy. And in a short period of time, I got really good at it. And I came to a point in life where I was trying to decide, should I pour all my energies into that or not? Now, I'm glad I didn't. I'm very glad. I might have been successful at it because I was, as a young fellow, really good. But I look at the fellows who spent their life trying to get there and never did get there. And that's all they spent their time doing. And they didn't leave anything, you know, measurable behind. The source of your desire. All right, look at we were in Proverbs 18, look at Proverbs 13. We're going to look at a handful of verses, but I hope the word desire. Desire, you've got to think of words that go with desire, like you wish for something, or you want it, okay? Or you long for it. All right, so you've got the source of desire. And let's look at the setting out for a desire. You set out to do it. Okay? In other words, you decide you're going to do something about the desire. Now, look it with me at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So, here's how this thing works. Let's say you've got something and you think about it a lot. You always want it. I remember one time there was this certain thing, a saddle I wanted. And I saved and saved and saved. And I came right up. I saved for months and months. And I came right up to be able to buy it. And I ran into a guy at the saddle shop. I still remember where it was. And we got to talking about saddles. And he said, you know, I got a guy who makes these kind of saddles. And it was the kind he's talking about was the kind I really, really absolutely wanted. I didn't know that it existed. Okay, so I had set out to do it, and I had saved towards it. In this verse, look at 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. So a sluggard is basically this, somebody who doesn't do stuff. They don't do it. Now, some people are busy all the time, but they're still a sluggard. For example, you fellas, a guy could go out, and maybe you don't shoot hoops or whatever. My buddies and I, we might go out at 2 o'clock in the morning and shoot hoops. Okay? Car lights, the whole thing. But that wasn't really accomplishing anything, okay? If I got my homework done, that was accomplishing something. So I could be a sluggard in my homework and yet look like I was really, you know, getting something done. But watch this. The soul of the sluggard desires and hath nothing. So if I don't set out for the desire, I can't ever get there. So wanting something, desiring, is not the same as setting out to do it. Setting out to do it has a starting point, we'll say. It has a place. Now, there's very few worthwhile things that come by chance or accident. A fella, where was it? Arkansas, maybe? They've actually got a park, and I think it's a state park or federal park, whatever, and they have found little bitty gold nuggets everywhere and diamonds. And he found a diamond that's the second largest ever found in that park, worth maybe $100,000. So if somebody read that, they said, well, I'm going to go do that. Well, he spent years visiting that park and sifting and pouring and sifting and pouring. Years, okay? And there would be thousands who've spent years and have made, you know, $10 and $20 and $30, price of admission, so to speak. So there's very few things that are worthwhile that come by accident. Something that's really a desire that's really worthwhile, that, and you check the source out and you go, here's my motive. What can your source be? Well, it might be the motive. Why do I want it? Okay. Another thing about the source, it might be the people behind it. Okay. The setting out for it is something that you kind of commit to. Sometimes we come to a point where we go, you know, that desire isn't practical. And through my life, there was times when my dad hardly ever used the word can't. He hardly ever tolerated not finishing something. I do remember one time we moved to this town. We moved way out away from any town. We were managing a breeding farm. I had to ride the bus about an hour and 15 minutes each way to school, and they were going to have football tryouts. I weighed 113 pounds soaking wet, and they only had varsity. They didn't have JV, and I was a ninth grader. And I said, I want to play football. He's like, son, you're going to get killed. And I'd been thrown from horses. I was like, Dad, what could be worse? He goes, I'm just telling you. There's got some big farm boys. It was a big old farm community. The average team weight was 245 pounds. These are big, big farm boys. I mean, these guys. So I decided to go out for it. He goes, okay, if you want to. They have them 2-a-days in those days in August. And it was brutal. They beat me to a pulp. One day, I don't remember it happening, but you run this gauntlet. You line up It's like running the gauntlet. You got to hold on to the ball and everybody gets a shot at you. Well, second or third guy evidently knocked my helmet off and the next guy hit me in the chin. And I don't remember anything after that. But I finished practice. And the next thing I know, I'm in the showers and there's this coach talking in my ear, and that feels really weird. Somebody right up next to you and you're in the shower. So I'm freaking out. I'm like, get away from me, man. What's wrong with you? And he goes, what's your name? I said, ain't none of your business, you know, and I'm getting all verbal with him. So they sit me down and they do all these different tests. I said, what is wrong with you guys? And then they start laughing. They said, I went over and I got in the lineman's practice. I'm 113 pounds, soaking wet. I got in the lineman's practice and I said, I got in front of this big old lineman. I said, bring it on. The guys couldn't already hurt me because they were just laughing so hard. And finally the guy said, look, Gilbert, come over here. And he said, every time I turn around, you'd be over there with the lineman trying to take on a big old lineman. So I went home and I didn't want to tell my dad, but evidently the coach called him. Because they were, and this is way before TBI. I mean, there's no telling what they actually did to my head because they didn't do x-rays and stuff in those days. So my dad sits me down and he goes, son, now, you know, I've never discouraged you. And he's like, I really think you might want to consider waiting till next year. I said, you taught me never to quit, blah, blah, blah. I went two or three more times. And then I did start having trouble with my head, which is obvious. But my point being, I had set out for that thing. I had set out for it, and nothing was going to deter me. I was determined to be a veterinarian. I was going to go to veterinary school, and then God saved me. And when he saved me, he called me to preach, told me what I needed to do. And at that point, what I had to do was decide, well, I set out for the desire that God put ahead of me. I'm going to read you a couple of verses out of Psalms. Now, my whole point is that you think about your desires. You are at an age, the perfect age, to think about your desires and to decide the source of them and the setting out of them. Psalm 19 says, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. It would be important for you to set out to know the Bible for your sake. And when you set out for something, then you're on your way. Well, the third one is this, and it was in our first verse today, separating unto a desire. Okay? I can still remember that there was choices I had to make. And you've had to make. Good friends I've known that have had to make it. Unto something is from something, okay? Like if you decide to separate yourself unto being strong and healthy, well then there's some things you can't do. You're not going to be able to get super good, strong, and healthy on just junk food. Some guys have done it. One lady said, she says, how do you convince your 6 foot tall 16-year-old son that he needs to eat right when he got that way, eating hamburgers and potato chips? Okay. In other words, sometimes we say to ourselves, well, I don't have to do this. But what we've got to do is prioritize our desires. I've read of so many people that were successful at things, and the reason they were successful is they separated themselves unto a main desire. It doesn't mean you don't get any of your other little desires, but you prioritize. Prioritize is putting things in order. It's this word. Look, prioritize. It's saying what's first things first. Okay? The average Christian gets a little bit turned around these days because there's so many things out there in the world telling you to have first things first and to put them first. For example, you have to decide, do I put comfort opposite of duty? Do I spend time on this or do I spend time on that? Only you can make that choice, okay? Your mental energy, do I spend mental energy on this or that? My finances, do I spend money on this? I got a fellow kid that works with me at work. He's in his early 20s. And for 3 or 4 weeks, he was just constantly about wanting to go buy this truck. And every day I'd say to him, you know, the fastest way to double your money? He'd say, how do you do that? I said, fold it over and put it in your pocket. And it's a play on words, but it's not. If I've got $100 and I want to spend it, but I decide not to, it's like 200. Because if I spent the 100, I'd be out of it. But instead, I got 100 in my pocket. So I've saved that money there. Look at Romans 10 with me. There is a verse in the New Testament I want y'all to look at with me, and then I'll refer to the others on this thing of separating. I don't know how badly you ever wanted something. When I got saved, the very first thing I did was go home, and the next morning at breakfast, talk to my dad. And I didn't know anything. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know anything. And I couldn't even really tell him what happened to me yet. But my heart was just busting to tell him. And I thought of that later when I read this verse, Romans 10, look at verse 1 with me. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He even said that he could wish himself in chapter 9, verse 3 across the page, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul had a desire. You've heard me say before, I had an uncle in Texas. My mother's folks were in Ohio, Central Ohio. After we all got saved, and when my granddad, which was his brother, was going to die, and he only had a few weeks left, he flew up there, and I happened to drive up, and we met each other, and we got to talking. For 12 years, he had prayed for us to get saved. He had what? He had a desire. I was thinking about this week when I was thinking about this lesson and writing down these notes. I was thinking about separating under desire. Many years ago, the Lord, I heard a man preach a message called Thy Vows Are Upon Me. And I vowed to, and he talked about a prayer list, to keep a prayer list and pray for people every day. And I was looking at the list the other day, and I was like, you know, it took 5 years for this certain thing to happen, and it took 10 years for this to happen. But it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't separated unto it. Now look, it might, right now in your life, if you go say, Lord, what should my desires be? And we really want who to be the source of our desires? Who? The Lord, right? Because he not only is your God, he's your shepherd. Not only, he knows everything. And then we decide to set out for it, we separate unto certain things. And so sometimes I have to make sure. I have bound myself. Nobody else knows I do it. So I'm not doing it for anybody else, but I've got that list and I'm going to pray over it. You guys are on the list. I'm going to pray over it every single day because I set out to. And if you don't separate unto it, then you let other things get in and crowd the time. And there's many things, but lest I run out of time, I want to say this, sustaining desire. Now, you could take this two ways, okay? Sustaining desire. You could say, well, I got to keep my desire sustained. That's true. But in this case, what I want to talk about is the fact that having a desire and setting out for it and separating unto it, it will sustain you. The Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And so that's Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs for a minute, Proverbs 13 for a minute. Since you probably got your finger in Proverbs. I want you to look at this, because I'm going to talk about the sustaining desire. It can be that you have to keep your desire going, but the desire sustains you. I'll give you an example. With all my soul, and I think maybe you're that way, I really do want to get to the end of my life, pass out of here, one day stand before God and Him say, well done. There's hardly anything like somebody saying, well done. In this life, it's pretty rare for somebody to tell you really did a good job, okay? That's why they make a big deal out of awards and presentations, the world does, because it does feel good. And then there's certain people it feels better from. From a stranger, it might not, but from somebody that matters to you. My dad wasn't real big on saying well done, but when he did, it meant the world to me. Now, he was pretty short. My granddad was super short on it. But I knew in my heart he loved me. It was just he grew up in a really hard, grew up in the depression and the hard times. So the desire sustains you. The desire sought gives us direction and momentum. And then with that, I want you to look at Proverbs 13 with me. Look at verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. When you really hope for something and it drags out and it drags out and it drags out, I've traveled a lot. I've seen just normal people, nice people, polite people, turn into animals when a flight gets delayed a long enough time. I was on a runway in Atlanta, and they had to stop all the planes. They had a problem with a plane that was like eight planes ahead of us. And they're taking off like this. One takes off, another takes off, another takes off. We sat there for 2 hours. And they had to cut down on the air conditioning because it was overheating something sitting on the runway. And I really thought these people were going to kill each other. They were getting aggravated and irritated and rude to the flight people, the flight attendants, and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because that hope was deferred. It was held back. But look at the rest of the verse, verse 12. When the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. It's like it just sprouts up in you. Look at verse 19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. So I'm going to talk about the sweetness of a desire accomplished. The sweetness. There is something very special. Now, you've maybe played ball, you've kicked a ball, hit a ball. I played golf and baseball, hockey, rugby, all that kind of rubbish. And the sweetness of a desire accomplished, okay? They call it, when you hit it with a bat, when you hit it with a club, when you hit it with something, they call it the what? The sweet spot, okay? Because that's where it's as sweet as it gets. One of the things that helps us is this. You set little goals along the way. Here, I'm going to encourage you to do something. And we're going to talk about in our class in a practical level, okay, as time goes on. But think about just desire this week, the source, the setting, the separating, the sustaining, the sweetness. We get to a desire by little tiny desires or goals. They're little steps. I used to have a thing, I still got it probably in a notebook somewhere, and it was a guy that was on an Outback station, and it was called Camel Stew. And it was like, how do you make camel stew? Well, I don't know if you know how big a camel is, but it'd take you a while to cut a camel up. So he talked about taking 2 weeks to cut the camel up, and then, you know, 400 pounds of carrots, how long it takes to cut them up and all that. And the point being, everything is a little bit at a time, every step. Every day is closer. Every hour can be closer. Every little thing we do can be closer. And the reason I feel like that's so important for us is that the way to get to the desire and the sweetness of it is this basic path right here. We have to, is it worthwhile? What is my source? We have to set out to do that. And by doing so, we separate into it. We make choices. We prioritize. The desire will help us keep doing the things towards the desire so that we can reach the sweetness. But if we set little goals, the little ones are sweet little tastes of getting there. Because many things now that are worthwhile, they take days and weeks and months and quarters of a year and then a year and sometimes one or two or three or 4 years. But they're worth it. All right, so let's close in prayer. And I hope this week that this will be something that will help you. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We pray, God, you'd use it. Help us, Lord, to have this word on our heart, our desires, and then help these young people to benefit personally by it. Father, I know this, that time goes by so quickly. We're almost to the end of the third quarter of this year, starting the last quarter of this calendar year. And we'll move into the next one, and time will not wait for us. So help us, Lord, to spend our life on really good desires and doing the things that we can do to accomplish it. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.